question from Ramabhadra Priya Prabhu. How do we distinguish between the heart and the mind? What is the difference between the two? What are the distinguishing characteristics, functions, symptoms between the two? Srila Prabhupada writes, the soul is located in the region of the heart, and the references for that 1515-1861 in the Bhagavad Gita. So where is the location of the mind? Are there any references for the same? In BG 7.4, only the 8 elements that constitute the material energy are mentioned. Answer: the word heart is generally used in our philosophy in a metaphorical sense. Biologically, we know the heart refers to the organ that pumps blood, and that is definitely not what we refer to when we talk about love, either in the material or the spiritual sense. So when people, even in material life, they show a shape with an arrow in it, the heart shape with an arrow in it, they are not referring to the physical heart, although the shape may be slightly similar. They are referring to the seat of emotions. Now, what is actually the seat of emotions and ultimately the seat of love? That is the soul. So, the soul is the source of consciousness, and in that sense, the soul is the heart. So the heart, in a metaphorical sense, is the seat of emotions, and from the, in the ontological sense, or the sense of nature of where it exists, it is the same as the soul. Now, the mind is like the doorway to the soul or the heart. That means that the soul's emotions are rooted through the mind. So, now where is the mind located? Just like the other five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, are they located at any particular point in the body? No, they are distributed. So similarly, the mind, intelligence and false ego, they are also not localized at a particular place, but they are distributed. However, their distribution is not like the gross distribution of the gross elements, because the element itself is subtle. So generally speaking, when we depict it visually, we say the soul as one circle, around it is the subtle body is another circle, and around it the gross body is the third circle. So this depiction is primarily to indicate the relative location of the two, of all the three. It is not so much to indicate where a specific element is distributed. Now, is located or distributed. The soul, we know, is situated in the region of the heart. Now, what does this actually mean? So, here, when Srila Prabhupada uses the word heart, and Krishna uses the word Riddheshe, he is referring, of course, to the Super Soul, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Riddheshe Arjuntishtati, for that. But, Krishna is, we know that he is not referring in a metaphorical sense, because there is the word Deshe. Deshe is the region. So if it had been, generally speaking, if it had been a metaphorical reference, there would not have been a further description of location over there. So the soul is situated in the region of the heart. Prabhupada used the example of how a king is seated on a throne. So when the throne, needs to be changed for some reason, if it is damaged or whatever, the king remains. King just gets up and shifts to a new throne. Similarly, in a heart transplant also, the heart may be changed, but the soul remains the same and is becomes situated in the heart. So Riddheshe indicates it's situated in the region of the heart. So that would mean that the soul is in the region of the biological heart, and the soul itself is the same as the metaphorical heart, at the seat of emotions. So around the soul, in the region of the heart, is the mind. But the mind, being subtle, is, and being in a, of a, being subtle, we can't really pinpoint it to a gross location. Just as other elements are distributed, the mind is also distributed. Now, what are the characteristics? The mind, we know, is characterized, its functions are thinking, feeling, willing. Actually, these are the general characteristics of the full subtle body. In a rough sense, we could say that thinking is an act of the intelligence, feeling is the act of the mind, and willing is the act of the false ego. But this is only a very rough correlation. Actually, in Sankhya, which is a different school of thought, and many insights of which are included in the Vedic literature, in Sankhya, the mind, intelligence and false ego are often thought of as comprising of the same structural element with only functional differences. So, Sankhya, there's a commentary by Ishwar Krishna called Sankhya Karika. He elaborates over there that that in the subtle realm, all three are basically structurally similar, but functionally they are different. So, in that sense, the division of these three, of that one foundation structure element into three names and three roles is for functional purposes. Now, of course, there are some other commentators in the Sankhya tradition who differ. And neither Srila Prabhupada nor Baldev Vidyabhushan nor Jiva Goswami take any specific position on this. So that's why even the ISKCON devotee scientists to some extent are not positive about whether we consider the three to be one or different. Srila Prabhupada talks about the three in a different sense, in the sense of being functionally different. And Krishna also enlists them as three distinct elements. So there is definitely some difference between the three. So irrespective of whether they are structurally similar or not, we ultimately can perceive their existence only in the functional terms. So that's why that functional view, functional understanding is enough for us. And as far as the, so the characteristics of the heart is that the heart is the source for all feelings. Heart means here the soul. And whereas the mind is the instrument, the tool for the feelings. Just like we may say sometimes the mind is the source of desires. However, ultimately mind is also a dead material element. So desiring cannot be done by the mind. Ultimately the desiring is done by the soul only. However, the mind stores our past desires and acts like a multiple option provider of various desires which the soul chooses. So the function of the mind is that it acts as a tool for us to desire. Just like say, for the soul is ultimately the source of speaking, but the voice box and the mouth, they are the tool for speaking. Similarly, the mind is the, at a subtle level, the tool by which the soul's desires are expressed in the material realm. So, Krishna explains in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th verse, that Shrotram Chakshusparshanam Cha Rasanam Granam Eva Cha Adhishtaya Manashchayam Vishayanupasevate. So, there, he says all the senses are centered around the mind. So Dhritakarma Prabhu gives the example in one of his articles on the Puranjan allegory, that the mind can be, if we consider our material existence to be like a virtual reality, then the mind is like a like the multimedia computer that integrates the inputs that come from all the senses. So this 15.9 which I quoted, Shrotram Chakshu Sparsham, it says that all the sensory inputs come to the mind. So just like if we have virtual reality, then all the inputs are coming together and they are being made visible on the computer screen. So on the computer screen, the person who is playing say the video game or playing the virtual reality game of say flying a plane or whatever, when that person sees the screen, and based on whatever is happening on the screen, the person responds. If the airplane is crashing, the person might get frightened. If the plane is flying very nicely, the person may get elated, whatever. So this observer, the person observing the computer screen, is the soul. And the computer screen, the image that is coming on it, is like the mind. So in that sense, we can clearly understand the difference between the soul and the mind. However, this, just like when a person goes to a movie, the lights are switched off so that the person doesn't see anything except the movie primarily. Similarly, at the material level of consciousness, we don't perceive anything apart from the material reality. And that's why the soul, although the soul is capable of having its own desires and desiring to love and serve Krishna at a spiritual level, but the soul's consciousness is currently completely riveted to the computer screen. And that's why most of our desires at present are the desires that are rooted through the material mind. That doesn't mean that all our desires have to be necessarily always material. We can, because Krishna manifests even in this virtual reality for us. Krishna manifests as the deities, as the holy name, as the dham, as the scriptures, and he manifests through his devotees also. So we can have spiritual desires also, but at our level of consciousness, even the spiritual desires have to be rooted through the material mind. And so if we have, say, the soul here, the mind here, the gross body, and the external world. So we know the four levels of consciousness. So at Jagruti, the soul's consciousness is rooted through the subtle body, through the gross body, the external world. In Swapna, the soul's consciousness is withdrawn from the gross body and is kept only in the subtle body. That's why we dream and we have feelings in relationship with the dreams. At the level of Sushupti, the consciousness is withdrawn even from the subtle body. And the soul is almost like nearly unconscious. And at Samadhi, that consciousness is redirected towards Krishna. So that now, the miracle of Bhakti is that redirection towards Krishna can even happen through the subtle and the gross bodies. So that's why Bhakti involves this principle of using the material things in Krishna's causes. But Rupa Goswami explains in Bhaktra Sahamrita Sindhu, and Jiva Goswami elaborates in Durgam Sangamitika, that a pure devotee, a Swarupa Siddha Bhakta, can act simultaneously at two levels. That means that the pure devotee has realized a Swarupa, say as a Gopa or a Gopi in the spiritual world. Then that pure devotee, being in Samadhi, can act according to the Swarupa in the spiritual world, and can also act as whatever the body the person has. So that's how I hear some pastimes where Raghunath Das Goswami was an external consciousness, a Goswami, very renounced person, and an internal consciousness was a Manjari who was in the spiritual world and he overate and who got some indigestion. So basically what that means is that Samadhi, that consciousness can be rooted outwards through the world, but it is also going towards Krishna only outwards through the subtle and gross body. Then other times it can be rooted inwards, and inwards also it goes towards Krishna spiritually. So that source of consciousness is the soul. The source of all emotion, the seat of all emotions, is the soul. So to summarize, the heart or the soul is the root, R-O-O-T, root of emotions, and the mind is the root, R-O-U-T, root of emotions. Thank you.